Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Hey, everybody. It's happening again. I'm so excited. Philly Podcast Festival is happening again this year. PodFest 2014 will be taking place at Tattooed Moms, which is on South Street in Philadelphia, August 19th through the 24th. And there are a ton of locally grown podcasts talking about all sorts of different topics. And you can come hang out, watch a live show. It's going to be amazing. A lot of people have giveaways. It'll be just awesome. So there's going to be cool shows there, including Sex with Timmery. We're going to talk about some sex, I imagine. There's also going to be like Unspoiled, Story Shuffle, Action Phase, Talking Nerdy, The Pincushion, Going to Hell, Stark Raven Mad, a bunch of other shows. There's so many. If you want the full lineup, if you want the schedule, you want more information, you go to phillypodfest.com and you're going to find out all sorts of stuff there. So get excited and we look forward to hanging out with you.
Welcome to Sex with Timmery. This is Dr. Timmery, and today is one of my little infamous rant episodes where I just kind of freak out at you rather than interviewing anybody. But sometimes those are really fun, so I assure you to keep listening, because I'm going to rant, and you're probably going to agree with me, because if you're listening to this to a podcast where sex is in the title, we're probably on the same page, and we can just be all angry together and have our blood pressure raised and whatnot. All right, so today I stumbled across, thanks to Heather Henderson of the Ardent Atheist, who's a friend of mine from back in the day when she lived in the Philadelphia area. She posted a blog post from a website. It's just like some nice little Christian mom blog, to be real, to give context. And it's called My Husband Doesn't Need to See Your Boobs. And the whole gist of it, you know, the too long didn't read version, is that she feels like you shouldn't be putting things on Facebook that might be arousing to her husband. That's the short version of it. The longer version is that she starts out by talking about her own insecurities, and she discusses how she keeps seeing all these people who post their like sexy body shots, you know, on the beach with their koozie and their sexy little bikini bodies, and how she says that, you know, if she looked like that, she'd probably want to take pictures of it too, but she doesn't, and so, you know, it hurts her feels when you do it, which is a human reaction. That's a completely, you know, not unreasonable thing to have happen. But then she extrapolates further, insisting, of course, that she doesn't judge you for taking those pictures or for posting them. She doesn't judge you. She says that multiple times. She goes on to talk about how she worries about her husband seeing those things, and about, you know, when they're laying in bed at night spooning, does his mind drift to their bodies, and about how this is challenging to their relationship. And I just wanted to flick her in the forehead real hard and be like, lady. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about that post as the context, as the catalyst for this conversation, but extrapolating further to what slut shaming looks like when people don't use the word slut. So that's what we're talking about today. As always, I want to hear your thoughts and comments on it. So you can always tweet at me, Timmery, T-I-M-A-R-E-E underscore Lee, L-E-I-G-H. Timmery underscore Lee. You can always write me on the Facebook page, facebook.com/sexwithtimmery, and you can message me there. You can email sexwithtimmery@gmail.com. So let's get it started. Let's focus specifically on this blog post. I'm not going to give a whole lot more information about it because she's already getting enough traffic. Like, whatever. She'll be fine. So she writes about a bunch of different, you know, things, Christian family things and adoption, and there's a little bit of white guiltiness, and she's, you know, whatever. We're not going to go into it. Anyway, she wrote this blog post, and the first thing that popped into my mind is how little personal responsibility this woman wants to have for being a mom, for being an adult, for being a person who seems to make her life about, you know, making your own good choices in a world where there are a lot of temptations. But she seems to like have absolutely no personal responsibility. And I think that we need to really always look at personal responsibility when it comes to slut shaming. When we're discussing the bad things that somebody else did, the slutty things that they did, thinking about what is each person's responsibility. If someone is using the term slut as a derogatory term, and I'm not necessarily okay with that in general. I mean, you use whatever words you want. I think it can be a very positive word. I think that it can be an affirmation of your love of sexuality and your brazenness in the way that you express it. But if you want to talk about somebody's sexual misbehavior, I think that you really want to think about what is their personal responsibility and what personal responsibility are they failing to uphold. Did they tell someone they wouldn't do it and then they did it, in which case they were, they betrayed a trust? Did they do a sexual act despite the lack of consent of someone else, in which case that's, you know, abusing someone else's body and therefore is a sexual crime? Or is what is slutty about it the fact that it makes it more tempting for you or the other people whose sexuality you would like to control? Because if what somebody is doing is causing you to want to sin, or causing someone that you would like to not be sinning to sin, then that's your problem. An end of story. Because I don't have to stop eating cake because you're on a diet. Sorry. I can handle drinking alcohol without having a binge cycle that is uncontrollable. So you don't need to make alcohol illegal because you have a problem with alcohol. Because you have a problem with gambling doesn't mean the casinos need to go away, etc. And so when it comes to sexual shaming, when it comes to sexual misbehavior, we really need to look at, is it actually harming anyone? Is it causing a relationship to be damaged? Or is it just making it harder for you to follow your own rules that you set for yourself, that you decided to set for yourself? And if it's in terms of, well, what if my kids see it? That's still rules that you set. Those are your values that you decided are valuable to you. And I respect whatever choices you make for your life and whatever you want to teach your kids. I fully respect that. I respect whatever decisions you make within the context of your relationships, whatever your values are. If you think it's cheating to make eye contact with another person and your partner agrees, then that's cheating. And that's fine. And I respect that. But that doesn't mean that if someone makes eye contact at me and I make eye contact back, that I'm the sinful one in your relationship. Let's also talk about the idea of telling other people what to put on their social media. Obviously, I've talked about this a few times, partly as a person who posts sexual stuff on social media, and I get really, really tired of having my account disabled for 24 hours because somebody else can't handle seeing something. So obviously, I'm coming from a place of personal investment in this. I'm also coming from this as a person who isn't scared of negative feedback, isn't ashamed of my form. And so I've got pictures existing in the world where I'm not wearing a nun's habit, and therefore I'm open to scrutiny. So I'm certainly feeling whatever it is that the women on this blogger's newsfeed must be feeling, this brazen desire to exist as a human in the world and have images of yourself out there where body parts are visible. And when someone does this, they're doing it for themselves. They're doing it because they want to post that picture. They're doing it because they want to get whatever reaction it gives them. They want to do it because this is the recollection of the event as it actually went down. They were wearing a bikini, and that's how they're going to capture the moment. There's a lot of different reasons. The reasons are not to get yo husband. I assure you that your friends are not trying to steal your husband via Facebook pictures. And if they are, you should know that because they're probably sociopaths. And you should already know that they are trying to steal your husband anyway. And that's not the way that they're going to do it. They're going to do it when they're doing it a million other different ways. But let's just talk about the piece in terms of trust in their relationship. In terms of this woman thinking about her husband thinking about other people while they're spooning. That sounds like you need to talk to your husband about that. You need to discuss with him, hey, what you thinking about? What's going on? And to have an open line of communication where whatever his answer is, you'll accept and you'll talk about it and you'll continue communicating. And if you get an answer that doesn't make you happy, that your reaction is still grown up enough that he'll continue being honest with you. Because if your reaction to someone being honest to you is to shut them down and to shame them,
what happens is that they stop being honest with you. And this is the problem that happens with kids in sex ed. If when they come to you with questions, you get mad about, why are you asking about that? Or, what, you know, like, you're too young for that. Or so-and-so is doing what? That's terrible. That person's a bad friend. You shouldn't hang out with them. They're going to stop asking you questions because you have made yourself an unsafe space. So in the context of your relationship, you're allowed to have the reaction that you have, obviously. But if you want to have an open line of communication, learning how to express your negative emotions in a way that takes ownership for them is super important. Rather than getting mad at someone for making you feel bad, own up to the feelings that you just had and say, when I hear about someone else being attractive to you, it makes me feel like I must not be attractive, and it makes me feel like I'm not good enough for you, and that our relationship's in danger. Take ownership for those things. Don't say, you know, I can't believe you're thinking about that. That's terrible. That's bad. Like, you don't even love me. Projecting all this other stuff onto it that may or may not even be true. There's also this really significant piece about this woman's own insecurities are what's driving her decision to be bossy to other people. She comes right out and says that, like, if I looked like that, I would take those pictures, but I don't. And I'm appreciative of her honesty, but it seems like a really obvious case of, well, then do something about it. And I'm not saying she needs to lose weight or get in some sort of specific type of appearance. What I'm saying is, if you don't like what you look like, that means that some work needs to be done. Perhaps it's counseling. Perhaps it's finding something that you feel really passionate about that uses your body in a way that makes you feel good about it again. So maybe you go take some yoga, or maybe you start doing some gardening and you find out that your physical strength can be used to create works of great beauty. Or maybe you go for a hike every morning with your little family and you're grateful for the fact that your body allows you to do these things, rather than bemoaning the fact that it does not and probably never will look exactly like the images that you see on TV. We can't fix that. We can't change that. We can support media that, you know, shows other types of bodies, certainly, but there will always be bodies represented that we can't ever look like. And we have to deal with that because we're going to have to survive in this world, and we're going to have to learn the coping strategies to deal with envy as it comes in all forms. There are always going to be people who are wealthier. There are always going to be people who have better luck. There are always going to be people who have more of whatever talent or skill or possession that it is we desire. And our need to survive means coming up with a strategy rather than killing all of those people off or making them give us some of what they have. And that's not to say I'm anti-socialist, but that certainly is to say greed and envy don't make people happier. That's what I really should say. Outside of this specific post, this is sort of representative of a larger idea of slut shaming. Now, there's the really obvious slut shaming where we call somebody a slut or a whore or whatever, and it's because, you know, what a slut, she sent a picture, because it's a she. Otherwise, it's going to be a man whore, because whore is still somehow like only a female thing. Only women can commit sexual sins of giving out perfectly consensual sex. So this is part of a larger problem. Some of it's very overt, especially among young people. There was a study recently about the double standards of sexting and how most sexting happens between teens mutually, that they're going back and forth with it. And often the boys are asking for pictures, but then they refer to the girls who sent them as all of these bad words for having done that. And they'll act as though the girl just sent it out of nowhere, as though they weren't part of it. And when people learn about young boys sexting, they don't label them as intrinsically as being flawed or bad or sinful. It's just a thing that they did, actions versus actual character traits. So this is, you know, this is a very important feminist issue in terms of slut shaming being not only a bad thing just because we're sex positive and we want to encourage everybody to be honest and open and authentic sexual beings, but specifically because there are certain populations who are targeted by this more than others. And that's the really overt kind. But then there's also this slightly more subtle, coming from a place of, look, I don't judge you. methinks thou dost protest entirely too much. But the thing is, you're just making it hard for me and for my family to do our thing, which is perhaps entirely true. We might be making it harder for your family to do it, but that's because what is natural for a human being is to be sexually aroused. That is a completely normal thing to have happen. There's also nothing wrong with being an asexual person or a person with a low sexual drive either. But if you naturally get aroused by the thought of sex or the sight of someone's body, that's because you're an animal, and that's what animals do. And that's how we have come to a place of having billions of people on the planet, as opposed to being close to extinction. So it is a tough fight, most certainly, but it's because you're fighting nature itself. It's not because I'm wearing a bear midriff. It's because you are a mammal that exists only because thousands of other mammals in the past were fucking. This whole thing has sort of reminded me of that blog that was about a year ago where a woman was writing about the teen girls on her son's Facebook feeds, because, again, social media, where they take these pictures in their rooms at night where, you know, their bra straps are visible, or, you know, they're in a swimsuit or whatever scandalousness, and about how those girls should, you know, have more respect for themselves and how this makes it challenging for her boys to be good young men. And without any irony, the image accompanying this blog post was of her three young sons on the beach wearing swim trunks and no shirts. Like, without any sense of irony of the total double standard, because women's bodies are sexual. A bra strap is a overt come on. It's not just a thing that's accompanying underwear that one must wear if one has pendulous bodies hanging from one's chest to be comfortable through the day. It's this very heteronormative idea that women's bodies are inherently sexual objects, and that the pieces of them that we have associated with sexuality, as though there are only like two or three spots on your body that are erogenous, that these parts on girls are inherently sexual. If you're a girl, if you have those body parts, you have them all the time, whether you're being engaged in sexual activity or not. You just have breasts, whatever size they might be. You just have a vulva. You just have legs, etc. That's part of being a person. It's only when straight males or people who are attracted to women's bodies, and we're just generally talking about straight males here, set the rules, that they determine that those are the parts that need to be legally covered because they drive sexual lust. Now, if it were gay men that set the rules, then maybe gay men would also want to cover up man parts, but I haven't met a whole lot of real prudy gay men, and maybe that's just the circles I run in. But to say that girls' bodies inherently need to be covered up more, and that goes with school dress codes and all that kind of stuff, is absolutely just reinforcing totally sexist ideas. The girls' bodies are sexual and men's bodies are utilitarian, because that's just what you live in as a person, because default person is male. This is also a total abdication of responsibility for parenting, because there are a million other interventions that can come between your kids' social media consumption, including teenage girls' bra straps, and that not happening. One of them is you could monitor your kids' social media use, and if this stuff is really important to you, then maybe you need to do that. Maybe that's where the intrusiveness needs to come. If we're going to be busting into people's privacy, if we're going to be making choices for other people, then maybe that's the level you take. Maybe tell your kids they can't be on social media. Maybe you get the passwords for their social media and you check out what they're liking and what they're posting. Because if anybody's going to be bossing anybody around, you can boss around your own kids, not other people, who are their own independent entities and whose family values might be different from yours. It's also this really silly notion that women are the gatekeepers of men's desires, that they need to hold them back, that male sexual desire is innate, and that young boys will be distracted by young girls, as though it doesn't work the other way, or that somehow it's just easier for girls to keep their shit together. And boys, of course, just cannot physically be capable of that level of discipline, which is incredibly condescending to young men. all of the young men that are perfectly respectable, all of the young men that are perfectly well-behaved in the presence of someone to whom they are attracted, are just being completely ignored as though they are somehow less masculine for not being complete jerks, as though they are somehow less male for being responsible for their own feelings. And so in all of these situations where it has to do with kids, I'm just so in awe of the million opportunities that these parents are taking to not have to be responsible for parenting. Look, I didn't make you have the kids. I wasn't there when you made them. I probably would have told you not to if I would have known you didn't want to do it that badly. If you didn't really want to have the responsibility for it, I might have talked you out of it and said, that seems like an awful lot of stuff you don't want to do. Maybe you shouldn't do this. Maybe you should just be like a big brother, big sister or something, and you can shape somebody's life in a different way as a coach or something. So all of these times of telling other people's kids what to do, all these times we're talking about dress codes that are specifically going to be talking to young girls and avoiding them being sexual, but young boys' dress codes are always about not looking like a homeless person, you know, just not looking like bedraggled and dirty, generally speaking, is mostly what we talk to boys about, as opposed to you will inflame them with lust for looking like that, because that's just not the way we conceptualize it. Because again, if straight men set the rules, then that's not a fear. So what if you've been listening so far and are realizing that you've engaged in this behavior yourself? Because it's really likely that you have, because it's likely that we all have, because this is real. We all like putting responsibility onto others. We all like having the abdication of responsibility for our own reactions to things. That's totally real. I've certainly done it myself. So what do we do when this happens? Being mindful of it, thinking every single time that we judge someone else, what is their crime specifically, and whom is it committed against? Is it a theoretical contribution to the world that makes it more openly sexual? If so, why are we opposed to that? And there's certainly developmentally appropriate expressions of sexuality. That's a real thing, especially since we're talking about kids in this latter part of the episode. So there's something to be said about developmentally appropriate discussions of sexuality and sexual expression, and having very clear boundaries with children about what your expectations are, what your values are, what you think sexuality is for, when you think that it is okay to engage in sexual behavior, and what kind of communication you want to be having with your kids as they get older and approach that being a reality for them. So I am totally understanding that when you're a parent, this is going to get super murky and soupy. And that's why there's this really immediate instinctual reaction to just shut everything down. But the truth is that you neither can do that nor should you. So instead, doing the extra work to have the conversations with your kids. It's kind of like that Louis C.K. joke about, you know, the people that are like, but we can't have gay marriage because how am I supposed to explain that to my kid? And he's like, I don't know. You have to talk to your ugly kid. Why can't these guys get married? Because you don't want to talk to your kid. Talk to your kid. I don't care. So it's kind of like that, I guess. If you are talking more about adults in terms of slut shaming, again, just think about what is the crime? Like the fact that she's wearing that dress, what is the crime being committed? And a lot of times we have to be really honest with ourselves that it's jealousy. It's either like an envy that she's getting away with something that I couldn't get away with. So let me call her on it so she's not getting away with it. Or perhaps it's a fear that someone else is going to get the attention that you want to have. Because that's a really big drive for us to slut shame too, is that we're fearful that we're going to have to do something bigger and better and be more interesting because someone else has bigger peacock feathers. And like, how am I supposed to compete with that? So being honest about why we're really concerned with other people's sexual behavior and making it known that they are bad. And of course, finally, there is the consideration, what do you do when you come across somebody who's doing slut shaming? And unconsciously, because again, we're going to encounter a lot of it where it's really covert. Rather than coming straight out and calling somebody a whore, calling somebody a slut for having their boobs on Facebook where the husbands everywhere can see it, which is like, we could have this whole other conversation about like, why is your marriage endangered by this? I don't know, whatever. That's a totally different conversation about relationships and monogamy and those sort of things. Because everybody has different boundaries. Some people consider, like, if you masturbate alone, that's not okay for your relationship. And other people are like, you had sex without a condom. Why didn't you use a condom? Like, we're fluid bonded. You know, whatever. You have different understandings of what is acceptable in your relationship. Anyway, so you're going to encounter slut shaming. What are you going to do about it? How do you have this conversation? Well, much as it doesn't usually help to come out and say, yo, that was racist, because people who hear that are like, I'm not racist, so no, I'm going to stop listening to you now, because that counters what I believe. Instead, we want to discuss specifically what is problematic about a behavior and why it's problematic and things that could be done instead. What are other options? So like I discussed today, rather than coming out and calling this lady a big old prude or calling this lady judgmental and bossy, which I did actually, I totally called her that, because we're all friends. I can talk to y'all honestly. If I wrote her the email, I wouldn't call her those things. But rather than coming out and calling her names, discussing specifically what's problematic about this, that she is shaming other people for their behavior, which is not actually sinful or harmful to anybody, that she is taking no responsibility for her own insecurities and doing things that might make her feel better about her own body, rather than being upset that other people don't have those same insecurities, discussing why it's problematic that she's worried about, you know, her husband's thoughts, and what is going on in their relationship that makes her feel so endangered that the thought of another person's breasts is somehow going to be a threat to their marriage. What's going on there? And let's be really honest about this, and let's be a safe space where she can discuss that. So if it's someone you know and love, approaching it from a place of, hey, buddy, what's going on with you? What are you feeling right now? And finding out what is the deeper underlying feeling that causes this. This is why when I teach sexuality education to people, I force them, despite their best intentions and attempts, to discuss the feels before we get to the cognitive stuff. Whenever they're given challenging content, all right, what are your feelings on this? Because our first thoughts is going to be to rationalize whatever our feelings were, rather than to be honest about what the feelings were and acknowledge how they are driving the cognitive coping strategies we're using. When we see something that is hard for us, we'll come up with rationalizations and justifications for why that person is bad and we should feel okay to judge, rather than being like, I feel some kind of way about this specifically. I feel threatened, I feel intimidated, I feel less attractive, less interesting, I feel as though I'll die alone. And that's really scary for me, because if my husband likes other people's boobs, he's gonna go play with other people's boobs. And if he plays with other people's boobs, he will leave me, and then I'll be alone, and I don't want to be alone, and so he can't look at their boobs. And really going all the way with it and being honest and having that shared vulnerability when you talk to somebody and being like, look, I understand. I get really sensitive about my own body and I feel gross some days. And when I see somebody else looking really good, it exacerbates it, makes it feel worse. So putting it out there that we share the same insecurities because we're all people and we get a lot of the same problems. We get them to differing degrees on different days and whatever, but that we're all in this together. So I want to say to all the people who are doing this slut shaming unintentionally, I'm calling it what it is, which is slut shaming. It doesn't mean that you are a slut shamer. It doesn't make you a bad person. But it does give you a little bit of work to do. And we're all there because we were all raised in this culture and we all were taught to do these things. So we're all in this together. So in conclusion, this blog is going to be one of about 1,000,000,000. Because there's a lot of blogs and there are going to continue to be. And this is going to be an uphill battle for a while. So I'm counting blogs up for the next century or whatever. It's going to be an ongoing problem. And in real life, it's going to be an ongoing problem. And hopefully people are getting more and more knowledgeable about it so that they identify it for what it is. Sexist double standards, slut shaming, you know, sex negativism in general. In the meantime, we have to do our best to be positive, to be affirming to other people, to manage our own insecurities, and to be honest about what they are. rather than repressing them, just taking ownership of them. It's not to say that you can't feel bad, you can't feel intimidated, or that you can't feel hurt or saddened or angry or whatever you feel. You feel those things, and that's real. But to take ownership for that, to take responsibility for that, and for making yourself feel better rather than making other people change their lives. If it means you have to check out of social media for a while, you have to check out of social media for a while. Or maybe you go to sites that are much more family-oriented and therefore have much stricter standards about what can be posted, rather than trying to sanitize the world to your feelings of the moment. So we're all in this together. We're all feeling this stuff. But we have to be mindful of not creating more negativity in the world through our dealings. So I want to thank you all for listening. And again, I am super happy to take your questions and your comments. You can tweet Timmery_Lee. You can email sexwithtimmery@gmail.com. Facebook.com/sexwithtimmery. You can message me privately or post something on the wall if you feel like it. So thank you all very much for listening. Have an excellent day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Sex with Timmery, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimmery.com, Sex with Timmery on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timmery_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.